Shalom Aleichem. It's nice to see more of you in person. A few fewer on Zoom. We have a lot to talk about Shemitah. Yirtz Hashem. We'll have a year to talk about Shemitah. We'll revisit all of the topics, hopefully in meaningful depth during the course of the year. What I wanted to do now is just to give you a minimum amount to get us through until Erev Chanukah, and then we continue with move over to the world of fruits, etc. After Chanukah, I'd like to take a lead from the Mishnah Berurah. We're well aware that the Mishnah Berurah has six volumes that are only halacha lemaisa. The hakdamos, the short hakdamos that he has in front of certain simanim, when he deals with very complex areas and he wants to give an overview before getting involved in the details. But he has one hakdama. Sorry, just turn on the air conditioning. He has one hakdama, which is pure Musar and Hashkafa. And that's his Hakdama to Hilchos Shabbos. And in my humble opinion, had the Mishnah Berurah continued and written also on Yeridea and got to Hilchos Rohim and got into Shemitah, he would have written a similar Hakdama. I would just like to speak about the parallels between what we find in Shemitah and the Hakdama of the Mishnah Berurah. If you look at the Psukim, we see over and over the Shavsar Shabbos Hashem. Shabbat Shabbaton Yelaaretz, Shabbat Hashem, Shnat Shabbaton Yelaaretz. Not just a question over here of Kol Shviim Chaviven, that we have a coincidence, that we have a concept of seven. But the Mishnah Berurah points out, Shinyan Hashabbos Shoresh Emuna Leida Sholam Hu Mechudash. But this is not only as opposed to the ancient Greeks. We're speaking about a world that always existed. But rather, with the practical hashlachot, kevan shebara hakol, hu adon al hakol, it puts all of our lives into perspective. Anachnu avadav umuchuyavim la'asos ritzono. That's what we're doing in this world. Alavdo b'chol gufeinu nishmasenu umamanenu ki hakol shalom. When we look at the Sefer Achinuch, see mitzvah peidalet, we find almost the exact same language as we had seen in the Mishnah Berurah, that we have over here, Mishorshi HaMitzvah Inyan Chibush HaOlam. But again, not just La'akor, those who claim that the world has always been, but Kadesh Yizkor HaAdam Ki HaAretz Shemotziyah Lav HaPerot V'chol Shana V'shana Lo B'Kocha U'Sgulata Totzi Otam. That we have nothing that we're going to call Teva that has an independent existence. Ki Yesh Adon Aleha V'Al Adoneha. All of Teva is a nes nistar ukishu chavetz mitzava elav lahafkiram, and the other side of the coin is that therefore it brings about bitachon b'Hashem Baruch Hu. Just as nowadays we don't view Shmirah Shabbos necessarily connected with bitachon. Everyone is Shomer Shabbos. Everyone has weekends, but it was only a generation or two ago that it was a tremendous mesiras nefesh to keep Shabbos. You couldn't be mitparnes keeping Shabbos. In other words, when the Jews came to America, and so you have the bitachon that even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mitzvah you not to work, you're going to make a parnasa because you're doing Ratzon Hashem. And so over here by Shemitah, the fact that you see your field just sitting there, you're not working it. This was your source of parnasa. This was your source for export, etc., etc. Then one learns. In other words, the kol gidulei karkos of a nachlas abos of a gedalim, that it's all ratzon Hashem, and the same way that a Kaddish Baruch Hu could say, I don't want you to let your fields just go off every other year to keep them naturally fertile, but rather you're going to work for 6 years, and at the time that the sixth year that things should be the worst in terms of the field should be its weakest, it's going to give you enough for 3 years, have bitachon, you're going to make it through by keeping Shemitah, keeping Yovel, etc. And the hamalumad bekach, if a person gets used to living in such a manner, so he's like ochlei haman. In other words, that you live understanding that you're living in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who mishpachto kol yamav. So then that will give him a tremendous amount of bitachon. Gibore koach osei ritzono. In other words, that the farmers who keep Shemitah are true giborim. And in addition, so all of this is found also parallel to what we find in the Mishnah Berurah. We have an addition within the world of Shemitah of Midas Habatranos to get used to giving, that we're not giving from ours, we're giving from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, that it's all hefker. That, and so when we distribute, we're basically giving the HaKadosh Baruch Hu the excuse for leaving us a part of it, but it's really everything is out of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and a person who's used to doing this every 7 years, Tefzak Bo Mito Oba Midas Hakilos Harvey. In other words, that he's going to be able to override a desire to sort of hold on to things, otherwise it's all going to go through his fingers. And these are lessons to be learned. What if a person doesn't keep Shabbos? So then, in other words, the Mishnah Berurah speaks about the fact that he really has no purpose in his existence. He's here like another member of the animal kingdom. Pashtus, that there's no olam haba for such an individual. He simply missed the boat. And so, hu hadin, in terms of Shemitah, we don't need the Sefer Achinuch to tell us, the Torah tells us that Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us Eretz Yisrael. In other words, because of our emunah, that it's a gift of his, and if we're not showing that by keeping Shemitah, then go aleinu, azara semba goyim, astir tzaharetz l'shav soseha, Torah shebechsav, hu adin in Torah shebaopek, govos bala olam, avashmatas haaretz, dever misrab et motzai shviyas, Kodesh Baruch Hu. You know, it says, I want you to make the proper choice voluntarily. If not, in other words, I'll have to impose upon you an understanding of tops and bottoms and what's right and what's wrong. And the final thing the final point that the Mishnah Berurah makes in his Hakdama is Yadua Shishmira Shabbos Kitikuna Ukiruv Hagulah, Mamar Chazal, and Moved Shamar Yisrael Shpesha Basas Yadadu Liga Alim. So we have over here a Gemara in the Gila on Daf Yud Zayin Amadeis, where the Gemara is dealing with the order of the brachos of Shmona Esrei, the order of the Bakashos, and points out we have a pasuk in Tehillim, Hasaleach l'kol avonaychi, harofei l'kol tachluaychi, hagoel mishachat chayaychi, lememra degu'ula urefua basar slichavu. That after the bracha of slach lanu, so then we have, the pasuk tells us, we have refua and geula. So the question is, why then did Anshei Knesset Tagdola switch the order? Ma'ro'u lomar geula b'shvius. The order should be Slach lanu, and then a brach of Rifa'enu, and then Re'ena v'anyenu. Ma'ro'u lomar geula b'shvius. Amarava m'pnei sh'asidin l'higoyel b'shvius. Therefore, l'vika kavula b'shvius. Then we, three times a day, we link Shemitah with geula. That the fact that the pasuk is out of order is in order to stress to us the importance of Shemitah. Okay, so we're dealing over here then with a very, very, very crucial defining mitzvah. Just as a background, the story is told that the Panovich Shirov, when he used to come out of the yeshiva on Rosh Hashanah, he would turn, the Neighborak is an area which is surrounded by orchards, he would turn to the orchards and wish the trees a good Shabbos. That's the feeling that should be generated by Shemitah. Just as background to what we're talking about, we're aware, and we'll talk about this at greater length, Yirtzeh Hashem, after Sukkot, that there's the Machlokas Rishonim. What's the status of Shemitah nowadays? We're now post-Yovel, we're post-Churban. So we're working off now of the mainstream Shita of the Rishonim and the mainstream Shita of the Achronim, that Shemitah Bizman Hazeh is Drabonim. Just have two caveats. A, that a person should never say that Shemitah is only Drabonim. We don't say that Purim is only Drabonim. We don't say that Hanukkah is only Drabonim. We don't say that Malichas Basar from Dam is only Midrabanan. Shemitah is Drabanan. Okay. In addition to the Drabanan of Shemitah, we have a Pasuk in Tanakh and Sefer Nehemiah, Ubechol Zot, when Klal Yisrael came back in the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, Shivat Zion, Ubechol Zot Anu Korsim Ammana. They made a covenant with a Kodesh Baruch Hu of Ris, because when the Afasum Sarenu Levienu Kohenenu, then there's another close to 30 psukim that list all of the important Jews of that generation, and the amana was that we're going to define ourselves in order to return to Israel. We're going to define ourselves as in core as Jews. But how does the Jew define himself in a core as a Jew? A, he's not going to intermarry. That which is defined in Sefer Nehemiah as the Avera of Golos, we're not going to intermarry. And secondly, in Pasuk Lamed Beis, Amei Ha'aretz Hamaviim Hamakchot V'Kol Shever V'Yom Hashavos V'Kor Lo Nikach Behem V'Shavos V'Yom Kodesh. We're not going to do business on Shabbos and Yontif. We all know that a Shomer Shabbos is the definition of a Jew who's an Oved Hashem. V'Nitosh Hashana Hashviyis U'Masa Kol Yad. And we're going to keep Shemitah. We're going to not intermarry, we're going to keep Shabbos, and we're going to keep Shemitah. This is a Shua. The Beis HaLevi points out that even if it appears from the Sugyos in the Gemara that Shemitah is Drabanan, but we have over here Yitachena Shua, which obligates us on a Doraisa plane, even Bisman HaZeh. What we do see in the Pasuk is that we have the two Shemitos. We have the Shemitah Sakarka, Nitosh HaShana V'Shviyas. We have the Maso Koyah, the Shemitah Ksafim. Right. Shemitah's Karaka is dealt with in Parshas Mishpat and in Parshas Bahar. Shemitah's Ksafim is dealt with in Parshas Re'eh. Even though Shemitah's Ksafim enters at the end of the seventh year, Niketz Shana HaShviyas, but the Shemitah's Karaka enters much earlier. Exactly when does it enter? We might have had a Havanita that enters on Shvat, when we have the Rosh Hashanah Leilanos, comes along the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah and tells us, Arba Rosh Hashanim Heim, B'echad B'tishi Rosh Hashanah B'shanim, U'l'shmitin U'l'yovlos B'netia U'l'yirakot. So we have over here a Mishnah that tells us that in less than 2 weeks we begin in Shemitah, just like in Shabbos we have Tosefes beforehand, who are did in Shemitah, but the dinim of the Tosefes of Shemitah basically deal with agricultural work, that which the Avodas HaKarka in the field. So those who are here on campus, we have a wonderful gardener who's a very, very firm Jew, Hananya. He's the maintenance man who takes care of the gardens. I sat with him already in the middle of Chodesh Av and explained to him exactly what he can do, what he can't do, what he had to do before during Tosefes, Shviyas. And so just you should be aware that the general rule is that we have two forms of malacha, malacha sabora sakarka, those that malacha sarar do raisa, that we have in the pasuk, lotizra, kamar lotizmor, sotcha lotizra, kamacha lotizmor, and their equivalents, that on the daraisa plane, that there's no room for, no wiggle room in terms of Shemitah, even nowadays that Shemitah is Drabanan. However, on the level of the Drabanan, Isurim on Shemitah, watering and fertilizing, and hoeing and weeding, etc. So there we have a Mishnah in Moed Katan. Mashkin Beis HaShalchin B'Moed U'Bishviyas. And the Gemara asks, what's going on? Hashkoa is a Malacha Drabanan in Shemitah. And the Gemara and Daf Gimel Amud Aleph distinguishes that there are two types of hashkah, two types of kishkush, two types of hoeing and weeding. One of them is what we call the upme, to maintain the presence of the field, maintain the status of the trees, maintain the status of the crops. That is permitted. In order to be able to improve the hashbiyah, that is what is usher on the drabanan plane, and so therefore, you know, it's the one requires a baki and a mumcha, and there are books that are put out exactly what issues are, what damage would be irreversible, what damage is reversible, what's preventable by doing it on Erev Shemitah, And so you'll see that the fields are still fields, and that the grass is still going to be watered. It's being watered with a clock, and the clock is already been set from before Shemitah, but also there'll be greater intervals than during the course of normal year, in order not to be mashbiach, just in order that everything should be maintained. Okay, returning to Rosh Hashanah, there's just a very fascinating Gemara that I read over here from the Yerushalmi and Sota, the end of Masechet Sota. The Mishnah deals with the parashios of Hakel. Hakel was said in Sukkot after Shemitah, and one of the parashios that was read by the Melech was Aser to Aser. Why? Because we're going out of Shemitah into Shminas. We have to remind people that we're back to the world of Trumas and Maisus. The Gemara asks, Rav Chagai Boi Kume Rav Yossi Veino Tzarech LaHavdil. If we're dealing with Shemitah as being viewed as a Shabbos, Shabbos HaHaaretz, doesn't Shabbos require Havdalah? Amalek for Hivdil be Rosh Hashanah. We don't have to wait for the king to be Mavdil on Hakel. The Havdalah is already made, Motzei Rosh Hashanah. Namely, a year from now, a year and 2 weeks from now, when we say Havdalah and Motzei Shviyas, that will be the Havdalah not only for Rosh Hashanah, that we say Havdalah Motzei Rosh Hashanah. That will be the Havdalah not only for Rosh Hashanah, but also be the Havdalah for Shemitah. So the Radvaz points out that if Shemitah requires Havdalah, Shemitah also requires Kiddush. So in the Kiddush that we're going to say in Yud Hashem this Rosh Hashanah, we should have in mind that this is a Kiddush that applies to Shemitah as well. There was a very, very special Talmid Chacham in Yerushalayim, Rav Shammai Ginsberg, who pointed out that L'chora Hu Hadin Shechianu, the Shechianu that we're going to say the night of Rosh Hashanah this year, we have in mind all sorts of mitzvahs. We should also have in mind that this Shechianu is a Shechianu for Shemitah as well. When Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach and Rav Yoshev heard this, they were, you know, as they pointed out, it's amazing that until the you know, where it's the Tavshin, this was about Tavshin, I think he said it, about Tavshin Nun, about, you know, that so many years are going by and no one was mayor. That not only does the Shemitah require a Havdalah and the Kiddush, the Chared also Shayach to a Shechianu. Okay. But what we're going to talk about is in terms of produce. What can we eat and how can we eat it? So let's start with vegetables. The reason we're starting with vegetables is because there are different standards that determine what produce is Shemitah produce. By the world of Peros Igon, by the world of fruit, it's determined by Chanata, where the tree begins to bud. And so when the tree begins to bud during Shemitah, the results of that budding are going to be peros shviyas. So the plums and the peaches of shviyas are going to appear around Purim time. The apricots are going to appear about Pesach time. Apples are going to appear about Lag BaOmer. Citrus fruits are going to move over into what we call the eighth year. And the esrog, we're going to have an issue with as to whether it goes after Lakita, after Chanata. So this year's esrogim, certainly mitzad Chanata, belong to the sixth year, and what they did in Eretz Yisrael was that now they're being malakeh all the esrogim, so there won't be even an issue of lakita during Shnas HaShemitah. So all the esrogim of this year are regular esrogim; they belong to the sixth year. There's no kedusha shviyas on this year's esrogim. Hu Adin in terms of tvua, in terms of kidneys for the grains, it goes after Shlish Gidul, so the tvua of Shemitah is only going to be after Pesach. So for fruits and grains, we're going to have time to deal with in the second half of the year. But fruits are determined by Lakita, that which is picked. Vegetables are determined by Lakita. Yerakos are determined by Lakita. So that which is picked on Tzom Gedalia is already considered to be the produce of Shemitah. So what exactly can we do with the vegetables that we're going to move into in 2 weeks? So there are a number of directions that one can take, that are being taken. One is that for the last few weeks, if not months, they have been storing vegetables from the sixth year, that were picked in the sixth year, and preserved via refrigeration. And so that's what's going to be most of the of the onions and the carrots, it's those vegetables that lend themselves to be preserved. That's what you can buy without any issues. In other words, that'll be produce of the sixth year. You can buy it normally, you can use it normally. The second direction is what's called matzah menutak b'chamama. If you have flower pots inside of a greenhouse, what's going on with flower pots inside of a greenhouse? So if you look at the Yerushalmi on the bottom of the first page, we have Yerushalmi and Orla, Rav Yochanan, Hashem Rav Yanai, Ilan Shenetao B'toch HaBayit, that if you plant something, and over here the concept of Bayit means under a roof, the walls can be minimal walls. We're not dealing over here with a bias for mezuzah, we're dealing over here with a bias in terms of mitzvos atzmios ba'aretz, mitzvos that are totally in the field. Ilan Shenetao B'toch HaBayit, Chaya V'Orla U'Pator Min HaMaisros. It's their chayav in Orla, because the Torah says, Kisabo el ha'aretz, v'netatem kol eitz. As long as this house is in the aretz, it's chayav in Orla. However, by Meiser, there the pasuk is, Aser ta'aseres kol tu'asara ha'yotzei ha'sadeh, and the house is not a field. What about in terms of Shemitah? U'shvi'is tricha. That's a suffix. Why? You see, on one hand, b'shavsa ha'aretz shavas l'shem. On the other hand, in the pasuk later, it speaks about sad chalotis or kama chalotis. We find both terms, the term aretz, which would be even inside of the house, and the term sada, which dafka would be an open area. How do we paskin in such a machlokas? So the Pas HaShulchan, the Talmud of the Vilna Gaon, who wrote an expansive work on Ezraim, he says, nowadays Shemitah is drabanan, so Suffolk Drabanan Lakula. The Chazon Ish says, no. Here we have a Suffolk in terms of psukim. We have a Suffolk how to read the Torah. Nowadays, it's Misgalgil into an application Drabanan. But we can't speak about this as a Suffolk Drabanan. This is a Suffolk Da'araisa that has an application Drabanan, and we should go Lakhumra. So we have a Machokas Achronim, whether the house is enough to take it out of the realm of Shemitah. But we have another area which is unclear, and that's in terms of atzitz. We all know that atzitz nakuv has a din of karka. Atzitz she'eno nakuv, in terms of Shabbos and Kilayim, we have Mishnayos that the atzitz she'eno nakuv and Brisos, atzitz she'eno nakuv is karka midrabanan. In other words, atzitz nakuv, if there's a hole, so then it's considered to be karka doraisa, there's full yedika. Atzitz she'eno nakuv is considered karka drabanan. We find nowhere in Shas and Bavli Yerushalmi any description, any discussion of what's the status of an atzitz she'eno nakuv in Shemitah. And so Rav Shlomo Zalman felt that this is a suffix because the Chazal word gozer everywhere. The Chazal had cheshbonas as to where they were gozer and where they weren't gozer. So when we can create a tzirut where we have both a house and an atzitz she'eno nakuv, if we're going to have a raised area that would be satum on the bottom inside of a greenhouse, so that the Chazon Ish felt would be already permitted. There already, we could say, Sabek Drabanan Lakula, Sfek Sveka. There's no issue of Shavsa Haaretz. And so the Chazon Ish was Ma'orerik, his Talmud, Rav Kalman Kahana, who was the head of Kibbutz Chafetz Chaim. This is the way you can grow things during Shemitah in a manner in which there would be no Havkah of a Shavsa Haaretz. And Halacha Lamaisa, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said that this can be, it's applied in all of Eretz Yisrael. This is the way that they grow most of the vegetables that are called Gush Katif vegetables. They grow it in this manner for all the years in order to prevent having insects in the vegetable, in order to prevent the issue of infestation of Shratzim, and that this same method can be used during Shemitah. And one can grow cucumbers, and one can grow tomatoes, theoretically, cabbage, all the things that the lettuce is, all that which is grown in this manner of the matzah menutak within the greenhouse. Came along Rav Eliashiv and wanted to make it into a mahadrin, and so he added a few conditions. A, that the hot house should only be for the infestation, not to make the fruit grow better, that there should be no havamina over here of somehow we're being mashbiach the vegetables, we're putting them in this framework. Secondly, that the atzitzim should be sold to a goy. The goy should own the atzitzim, and there's no issue of lo tachanim, as we'll see later on by Eter Matira. And thirdly, to be mosif, that non-Jews should do the malachos da oraisa. They should do the tzria. They should do the zimur within these greenhouses. And that's a second method of getting vegetables during Shemitah, where there is no kedushas shvius on this produce. One is if it was picked in the sixth year and simply refrigerated. The second, if it was grown in the seventh year, but grown in this manner where it's disconnected, unconnected to the ground. The third method, in other words, is moving over into a different area. That the moment that the yerakot are not picked in the sixth year, but rather they're going to be picked in the seventh year, let's just put aside the issue of kedusha shvius for a moment. We have an iser drabanan and an iser svichid. The Rambam in Hilchos Shmita Dalet defines the iser svichid midivrei sofrim. Even if the produce was not planted by a Jew, it grew on its own during the seventh year, you call hasfichin asurin ba'achila. Lamo gazra lehem, b'nei ovri aveira, shvo yelech v'yizra tfuah v'kidnis, v'zeron egina b'toch sadeh v'seiter, v'keshi yitzmach yochal mehem v'yom hasfichin hem, v'chein asru al kol hasfichin hatzom kid mishmiz. So leaving aside how we would normally eat to get around the issue of kedushas shvius, l'chara, when we're dealing with fruits from a tree, there's no inyan of svichin, but we're dealing with vegetables which are growing in the ground. Here we have this iser drabanan of svichin. Are there any vegetables that are exempt from the iser drabanan of svichim? So here we find in the Rambam, in other words, in Hilchos Shmita, that same Hilchos Shmita, Yovel Perek Dalet, he speaks about the fact that we have to look at the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. And we know that there are two sets of boundaries, that when Klal Yisrael came in time of Yehoshua, because they were called Olei Mitzrayim, that we have larger boundaries, and then when they returned in Shivat Zion, we had smaller boundaries. The Kedusha Rishona, unfortunately, was batel via the Churban. The Kedusha that we have nowadays is the Kedusha Shnia, but that Kedusha Rishona still created a concept of Kedusha Shvius Midrabanan. And so, in the area that was Muchsak, by Ole Mitzrayim and not by Ole Bavel, you know, it's in that gray area. So there is no Iser Svichin. It's not Midoraisa in the world of that which we're going to have a drabanan on. It goes from Gzera to Gzera, but there is going to be Kedushas Shvius. This is known in the stores as, you know, the Rambam speaks about the northern and eastern boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. But the practical application is in the southern boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, where Ole Mitzrayim went further down south than Ole Bavel. And in that area that was conquered by Ole Mitzrayim and not by Ole Bavel, there will be no Iser Svichin, but a din of Kedusha Shvius. So as opposed to the first two categories that we mentioned, where there's no Iser Svichin and no Kedusha Shvius, both in that which was picked in the sixth year and that which is on the Matzah Menutak. Here we're not going to have an Iser Svichin, there's no Iser Apila, but we're going to have Kedushas Shvius. Where exactly that area is a Machlokas Rishonim, a Machlokas Achronim, a Machlokas between the different Kashrus organizations, but at least we know that there is this category that we're going to call Drom Ha'arava, on which there is no Iser Svichin. Secondly, there must be another category where there's no Iser Svichin, because we have a Mishnah. We have Mishnayis and Nusefer Shvius, which speak about Perek Ches Omer LePoel, Halacha Iser Zeh, take this coin, Ulekot LiYera Kayom. We're talking during Shemitah, and we're asking the Poel to pick a fruit, to pick a vegetable, in order that it should be eaten during Shemitah. And the whole question of the Mishnah is there a din of Kedusha Shvius on the money? Is this money called Dmei Shvius? That we'll come to a bit later. But it appears that somehow we can eat vegetables during Shemitah by picking them during Shemitah. So here we have an explanation of these Mishnayos, both by the Rash in his parish on the Mishnayis, but by the Ramban on his, in his parish on Chumash, where the Ramban points out that when we speak about Svichin being Asur, that's if they grow totally during Shnas HaShmita. Namely, they begin to rise to be their Nevita, their original budding is after Tzom Gedalia. However, in the third line, but if we have that which already began to grow earlier, Avol Ein Bo Mishum Svichin Shenum Svichin Shvias Harei B'Shishis Tzomchu. That which began to grow, in other words, in Av, in Elul, and then continues to grow during the Shemitah year, that there's no Iser of Svichin. And that's the Mishnah. Ha'omer Lepo'o, Helech Iser Zeh, Lekot Liyerek Hayom. Namely, that there is a category of food, of vegetables, that began to grow during the sixth year, and then are picked during the seventh year. They have Kedusha Shvias, because Kedusha Shvias by vegetables goes after the Lakita, but there's no din of Svichin, there's no Iser Achila. And so those can be eaten, just like the Drum Ha'arava, they can be eaten B'Kedushas Shvias. Okay, so let's talk for a moment then about what does it mean to eat something B'Kedushas Shvias. That L'chore, we have over here three issues. A, how exactly can they be picked? Doesn't the Torah say Lo Tiktsar, Lo Tiktsar? They're not allowed to pick during Shemitah. How can you eat something without picking it? Secondly, how can it be purchased? We have Gemaras that speak about the fact that you're not allowed to purchase. And thirdly, we have the issue of the money that's used to purchase is going to get Kedusha Shvias. We'll talk about it in a minute. And so we have an Iser of giving that money to an Amal Aretz. How do we get around all these issues? And then we have a din of the Ochla below the Hefseda. How exactly do we eat it without being mastered? So all of these issues apply to that which, again, was grown from Drom Ha'arava and that which comes from that which began to grow during Shishis. The vegetables began to grow during Shishis and were picked during Shnas HaShmita. So in terms of how were they picked, don't we have a pasuk, Sviach Kitzir Chalo Tiktsor, V'in Ve'in Zirei Chalo Sitzor. Yeah, but the pasuk afterwards says, V'ya Shabbat Ha'aretz Lachem Lo'ochla. I mean, so it's an issue just to understand the psukim in the Torah. So already the Torah's Kohanim, and this is brought over here in the Yerushalmi, Lo Tiktsor Kederech Habotzri. Lo Tiktsor Kederech Habotzri. That you have to do it with a shinu. Basically, the shinui is that which Rashi calls Shalot Tinog Bahem Kabbal Havayim. The Iker in Shemitah is that Kosh Baruch Hu is a balabas, not us. So we have to show that we're not doing it as a balabayim. So the Rambam speaks about how you cut down in terms of quantity. The Rashi speaks about how you cut down in terms of quality, what tools you're using. Basically, what it means is that everything has to be harvested only for a retail concept, namely that a person will be able to pick that which he needs for a few days. He'll go to the field on Sunday, he'll go to the field again on Wednesday, and each day from Sunday he'll pick that which he needs until Wednesday. Wednesday he'll pick that which he needs through Shabbos, and that's what the Torah allows in terms of Katsira. But that's not what we do. We don't go out to fields and pick. Everything is done now wholesale. How can everything be done wholesale? So here we have a Tosefta. The Tosefta speaks about the fact that we had Shluchei Bezdin, Higiyas Zman HaTe'enim, when their season came to be picked, Shluchei Bezdin, Socharin Poalim, Odrin Osan, Osim Osam, Deveva, Komtin, Motam, Bechavios, Matkisa Otam, Lo'otzar, and then afterwards, Machalkin Otam, Lekol Echad, Deechad, Lefi Beisa, that there was a concept of an Otzar Bezdin. The whole issue is not to be a balabas on a field, but that's an issue for us as individuals. The Bezdin is serving as the representatives of Klal Yisrael, and the Bezdin basically sends out their shlichim, the shluchei Bezdin, to do the picking. That's not considered to be a problem of Katsira. And who I did, it solves all the issues of Schora and Kedusha Shvias, namely nothing is being sold. Everything is being distributed. The produce from the fields is being distributed by the Bezdin to the consumers. But aren't you paying? No. The Bezdin, it says, Sochrin Tolim. The Bezdin have to hire workers to do the harvest and the transportation and the storing and the distribution. So all of this is not Dinei Shvi'as. All of this is not Schor. Namely, you are giving money to the Bezdin in order that they cover their expenses, that what you're paying is to cover the expenses of the Bezdin. So in this respect, we have no problem of the harvesting. We have no problem of Schora. We have no problem of the Dinei Shvi'as. There is an issue of Mishkal Uminyan, that the products of Shemitah shouldn't be weighed, shouldn't be counted. And normally we buy things, we buy them by the kilo, or we buy them by number. And so the question is, it's a machlokes achronim, does this apply to Otzar Bezdin or not? There are those that are machmir, there are those that are mekel, that the moment that you have a chalukah, how can you do a chalukah without measuring? So whatever the particular Otzar Bezdin, whatever the rules are, you know, where it can fit into this category. So that every household will take that which they need.
So then a store would be able to sell.
It's not a store.
But nowadays, it's not a store. So they do, each person comes, they weigh it, and they give it. They don't make a calculation based on the amount of people in the house and so on and so forth.
No, in other words, the assumption is the person buying is buying for his household, but what he's not buying, in other words, he's receiving the chalukah and he's paying the expenses in terms of what he is taking. People will take more, will pay more expenses. People will take less, will pay less of a percentage of the expenses. But the price is set to cover the expenses. It theoretically makes a lot of sense. Practically, it's a very, very complicated matter to be able to know in advance how much one can charge when one doesn't know exactly how many people are going to buy and you have X amount of expenses, v'chule. But that is the framework of the Otzar Bezdin. There is one more category that I didn't mention that I'll mention now. In other words, we're dealing with where do we have a situation with no Iser Svichin, but we have Kedusha Shvi'as. So one category is what we call the Drom Harava. The second category is that which began to grow in the sixth year. The third category is that which is mentioned in the Rambam, Shemitah v'Yovel, Dalet Kaftes, Goy, Akum, Shekona Karka v'Eretz Yisrael, Uzra'a v'Shvi'as, Perosehu Mutarim. That there's no, this is Perik, Dalet is dealing with Svichin. There's no Iser Svichin. Shelogazer al HaSvichin, they over Yaveira. Svichin applies to Jews, that we don't want the Jew to be over an Aveira. The Ha'akum ain't Mitzuvah na HaShvi'as Kadesh and Nixer Aveira. Goyim aren't Mitzuvah. In Shvi'as, it's not one of Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. And so therefore, there's no Iser Svichin. So that the produce which is grown in a field which is owned by a non-Jew in Eretz Yisrael, that produce can be eaten during Shemitah. There's no din of Svichin. Is there a din of Kedushas Shvi'as on that produce? That's a machlokas rishonim between, or achronim, depending how you where you put the mabit and the beis yosef. In other words, that's a machlokas between the mabit and the beis yosef. So if one opens up the tshuvas avkas rochel, which are the tshuvas of Rav Yosef Karo, he has two tshuvas back to back. He has a tshuva siman kaf gimel in which he quotes the Rav Moshe Mitrani. He quotes the mabit and gives him. He brings the entire tshuva that the Mabit wrote to him. And then in Siman Kaf Dalet, he calls that which was in the previous tshuva, Lashon Rav Moshe Mitrani, Va'ani Yosef Karo, Lo Nichshivi Be'enai Divrei HaChacham HaNiskar, and he writes, tshuva Kaf Dalet is the Beis Yosef writing. What is over here the main issue? The main issue is how to understand the pasuk. The Torah says, HaShvi'as Tishmetena Unetashta. Are we dealing over here with a chovas gavra, that a person is supposed to be mafkir his land during Shvi'as in order to show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of the world? This is our responsibility. Or no, HaShvi'as Tishmetana. This is an afkas adamalka. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who is mafkir. For a person to be mafkir, that's an act of bailus. A person can't have an act of bailus. In other words, we're dealing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates the Shemitah, not that man creates the Shemitah. Now, the question is, what exactly did HaKadosh Baruch Hu want from us in this area? Did he want us to create, via our Ratzon, to create the status of Shemitah? Or did he want this status to be imposed upon us? If he wanted us to create it, that's Jews. Non-Jews aren't mechuyev to create any status. They're not shayach to the world of mitzvahs. And that's the shita of the Beis Yosef. If it's a question of afkasa de malka, that's the reality. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the hefker, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Kedusha Shvitas, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu created it in the land of Eretz Yisrael. My nafkamina, if we're not dealing over here with what the goy is doing. The goy can do whatever he wants. We're dealing with the status of the produce. The produce has Kedusha Shvitas, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this Kedusha Shvitas. Very, very basic focus between the Mabit and the Beis Yosef. It's well known that the Chazon Ish, who was the Mara da Asra of Bnei Brak, passed in like the Mabit, that the Peros, that the Virachos, I'm sorry, that are coming from the fields that belong to non-Jews in Eretz Yisrael, have Kedusha Shvias. They can be eaten. There's no Issa Svichim, but they have Kedusha Shvias. Masha Enken in Yerushalayim, they went after the Beis Yosef. Beis Yosef pointed out, Golnir Shiesh Virayota Pedigavato Mina Kadmonim. Shabbat Nahagu came to Beis Yosef, spoke about what was Minag, the original Minag Eretz Israel. And this Minag Yerushalayim had been approved by all of the Gedolim of Yerushalayim throughout the generations, including Rav Frank Bishaito, Rav Kook Bishaito, Rav Shlomo Zalman Bishaito, Rav Ovadia Bishaito. They were all somehow on the fact that we have this heter of the Beis Yosef that is. You can not only eat it, but there's no limitations. There's no Kedusha Shvias. You don't have to worry about harvesting, about buying, about eating, etc. You just eat it regularly because there's no Kedusha Shvias on this produce. This was the situation in Yerushalayim until 21 years ago. About 22 years ago, Rebbe Yashiv Zatzal decided that he wanted to be Machmir like the Mabit. And he lived in Yerushalayim. And so his Talmud Muvak, Rabbi Frati, said, okay, we will set up stores in Yerushalayim for those people who want to keep like Rabbi Yashiv, who was certainly tremendous, tremendous gadol in Yerushalayim. And so now we're in the third Shvita since Rabbi Frati began Rabbi Yashiv Paskin, then Rabbi Frati began his Mefal. So now you have two types of stores in Yerushalayim, those under the Badats, and Rabbanut Yerushalayim that are some Haminah Yerushalayim like the Beis Yosef, and those under Rav Efrati and some Ashkakos also from the Neira that hold that there is Kedusha Shvias. What do they do with the issues that we mentioned in that harvesting and Schorah B'chulei? So here there was a different approach, not an Otzar Bezdin approach, but rather an approach of Shlichut. That the non-Jew who's doing his harvesting, he's a goy. He can harvest. Even according to the Mabit, he's not high of the mitzvahs. He can harvest. That's not a problem. And he could also receive money for his produce. There's no issus kara on a goy. The way that it works is that you go into such a store and you sign a piece of paper, which is a shtar shlichus, that you're saying that all the middlemen between you and the goy are exactly that. They're your shlichim. They're not. It's not a store owner who's making money. They are your shlichim. You are buying from the goy, and you can buy from the goy, and the goy can sell to you. That's not a problem. In other words, that they were dealing over here, and all the Jewish middlemen, they are your shlichim, and they're receiving wages for being shlichim. Namely, again, that we're trying not to create a world of schora where a Jew is selling to a Jew. There's no Yisr over here. No Jew is selling to a Jew. The goy is selling to the Jew. The middlemen are shlichim. That's the rationale behind these stores. And therefore, in these stores also, there is no kedusha shvias. There is, on the money. Because it wasn't used to purchase, it was used to pay the wages of the Jew. There's no issue of skora, no issue of harvesting, etc. Okay, so these then are the methods that everyone agrees can be used. if we have this world of a goy owning a field, and you know, it's in this manner we can use the produce during Shemitah. So the question is, it doesn't the heter mechira make a lot of sense after all? Where, you know, we're basing ourselves on a reality that a goy owns this land. That why is this any different than other heterim that we have? We have a heter iska that circumvents ribis. We have a heter mechira on Pesach that circumvents bayirah bayimatzeh. We have a heter prusbol that circumvents shmitas ksafim. Why not have a heter mechira that a Jew should sell his land to a goyish owner and then, in other words, move from there to circumvent shmitas karka? So about 20, over 20 years ago, maybe 23 years ago, I heard a shiur from Rav Michal Rosenzweig Shlita, in which, so the terminology is his terminology, but I will borrow it because I think it's 100% correct. He said that every such heter has to be examined on two levels. One is the level of halachic legitimacy, and the second is the level of desirability. So when we're dealing with a heter iska, there's no question of legitimacy. Ribis is only in the construct of alone, not in the construct of shutvus. Those are mishnayos in a zehuneshek, even if that has financial consequences. Simply prusbol, the whole iser of shmitas ksafim is only between two parties, two Jews. Once Beis Din enters into the picture, there's no longer a din of vayigos. Those are mishnayos and mesechet shviyos. Similarly, bayirah bayimatzeh, we have a pasuk bayirah elecha shelcha yataroeh b'ataroeh shelacherim. And we have a precedent for the Mechira in the Tosefta. So all of these are vadai legitimate. And in terms of desirability, we all know what motivated Hillel, that we have a chesed of loaning money. We have a super chesed of being mashnit ksafit. Hillel felt it was kedai to circumvent the super chesed in order to be able to maintain the chesed of a Jew loaning money to another Jew. Again, we have we have a chesed of loaning money. We have a super chesed of not taking ribbons. In other words, over here, we have a reason to be mevatir on the super chesed in order to be able to maintain the chesed. Who I did in terms of bayirah bayimatzeh. There was never an iser to begin with for a goy to own chametz. And so, if we can prevent a hefsed merubah of another Jew using a reality, so will we use that reality? So we have both legitimacy and desirability. Masha'en came the moment that we move over to the world of Shemitah's Karka, and we want to ask, can we sell it to a goy? Here, there is a question of legitimacy. Can you sell Karka in Eretz Yisrael to a goy? We have an Yisrael of Otachane. And so one has to go through, besides, to what type of Jew is included in Otachane? What type of Mechira? Is it different to the temporary Mechira or a permanent Mechira? Is it a difference for the reason for the sale? Does that make a difference? How is it done? If it's done via Shliach, don't you have a problem of a Shliach Dvar Aveira? What does that mean? Does that undo the sale, or is that a side problem? And then we have the issue of whether the Mechira is meaningful. In other words, that we pointed it, that we have a machlokas where the yesh kinyan and the akum lafkivi de trumas and isos ain kinyan and the akum, and then as to whether Shemitah is an exception or not an exception, so between the Beis Yosef and the Mabit, all of these have to be taken into account in terms of the legitimacy. On the other hand, we do have a principle that in Surya, which was in which you had mitzvah tuyos aris midrabanan, there yesh kinyan da'akum lafki. The question is, can you compare Eretz Yisrael bismaneinu to Surya? Or do we say, no, Surya in essence is not Eretz Yisrael? Well, here we're dealing with intrinsically Eretz Yisrael. So all of these are very real issues, and this was the machlokas between Rav Yitzchak Yochanan Spector on one hand, and the Beis Halevi and the Netziv on the other hand, and between Rav Kook on one hand and the Chazon Ish on the other hand. But even if we could find the legitimacy, the question is it desirable? That over here we have a conflict, that Shemitah was meant to give a bracha to the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael. It was meant to give us the right to live in Eretz Yisrael. So by recognizing Adon the Adnus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not keeping Shemitah, we know brought about Golos. How can we build, are we permitted to build the Yishuv by abrogating our rights to the Yishuv? We have somewhat of a tarit disaster. So for all of these reasons, even those who agreed with the Heter Mechira viewed it as a b'di'evet. They viewed it as a ra'asha that has to be revisited every 7 years. They said that it should never be totally in terms of all of Eretz Yisrael, only perhaps in terms of certain fields within Eretz Yisrael, that it should not apply to Malachos d'Oraisa, only to Malachos d'Rabbanon, etc. So those who agreed with the Heter Mechira viewed it as a b'di'evet, and those who disagreed with the Heter Mechira, b'cholzot, felt that b'di'evet there is what to be somech. In other words, the Maisa, there are two sides to this issue. And therefore, even Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, who was not in favor of the Heter Mechira, but he felt that b'di'evet, that this fruit is no Isur Svichin, and that it can be eaten. You know, it's the two famous tshuvas that have been quoted in his name. One of them, in terms of kibud av-v'em, that if your parents come to visit you and insist on going to a certain restaurant that is somach on the Heter Mechira, and they're not interested in any other restaurant, this is their favorite restaurant, v'chulei v'chulei. So kibud av-v'em is d'oraisa. Here we're dealing with a heter which is valid b'di'evet, so you can be somach on it. In other words, not to abrogate chas v'shalom a chiyuv d'oraisa of kibud av-v'em. Rav Karlinsky, Rav Shaya Karlinsky from Darkei Noam, told me that his Talmidim B'Shaito went to Rav Shlomo Zalman to ask what if they were invited for Shabbos. You know, they didn't have their own homes, they were invited for Shabbos to someone, and the host served them food of Heter Mechira. So Rav Shlomo Zalman said they should eat the food. In other words, the Kavod HaBrios is also Doraisa. Not only Kibbutz Av-v'em is Doraisa, Kavod HaBrios is also Doraisa. So you can have one standard in your home, but we recognize that there is room for a b'di'evet in another realm. Okay, just to, in other words, so that which now has Kedusha Shvius, the vegetables that have Kedusha Shvius, again, that which began to grow in the sixth year, or that which comes from Drom Ha'arava, or that which is coming from Peros Nachrin, according to the Mabit. So we spoke about the means of getting around the problem of harvesting it. We spoke about some manners in which one gets around the Yisus Chora, the Otzer Vest, and the Shlichus. There are other manners as well that are dealt with in the Gemara that we'll talk about later during the year. Hakafa, buying something on credit, not paying for it currently, and then when you pay for it, you're paying off a loan. You're really not buying something. Hu Hadin in terms of Havala, Mishnah in Maseches Sukkah, that you're paying for that which doesn't have Kedusha Shvius, it's Eitz Ba'alma, like a Lulav or Hadassim, and you're not paying for the Esrog that you're getting the Matana. These are methods that exist. In terms of worrying that during Shemitah there'll be a lot of Dmei Shvius floating around, and Dmei Shvius, that which was used to buy produce of Shvius, we pointed out has Kedusha Shvius, and there's an Easter to give that to an Am Haaretz, because it can only be used to buy food. So the Chazon Ish already pointed out that this is going to be a minority of the money floating around, because that which is bought via Otzar Bezdin or the Peros of a Goy, or you know, even the Heter Mechira of the Dievet, one can be samech that on the fact that there's no Kedushas Mama. But if a person wants to, he can always say that whatever the Meshvi is, I may have in my pocket, I want to be machalo on this apple, and then once you're machalo on an apple, so then you'll just eat the apple with kedusha shvius, and the money lost its kedusha shvius. What does it mean to eat something with kedusha shvius? So just as an aside, not really an aside, but one should be aware that there is the shita of the Ramban in his Minyan Hamitzvos on his Hasagos on the Rambam, where he views that there were certain mitzvahs that the Rambam left out. One of those mitzvahs was la'ocha, di peroshvius. The Rambam viewed this as a mitzvah, so say, mi da'oraisa, v'hoyis la'oraisa v'chem lo'ochla, and one should view it as a privilege. Like, you know, how many mitzvahs do we have in Achila? In the time of the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohanim had a mitzvah of eating kachim, of Achila, Mishulchan Gavoa, Kazahu, here, all of the Kedusha Shvius in Mishulchan Gavoa, Kazahu. That's on the positive side. On the limitation side, so we have a Gemara in Sakam Dafman Beis and the Beis, according to Ochla, Amar Rachmana Vogo Lehefseh. So what it means is that Izel Chacham Haroes Hanolat, a person should take portions that are matim to him, that hopefully there would not be that much left over, but he has to be aware that if he puts a potato that is Kedusha Shvius into a cholent, so Tam Kedikar, the whole cholent currently has Kedushas Shvius. Or then you put vegetables into a chicken soup, now the whole chicken soup has Kedushas Shvius. So one tries not to have leftovers, for that which is left over, one would have two containers, one for solids, one for liquids. One would put into little plastic bags that which is left over. And when it reaches a stage that, you know, roi l'achivas adam, then it can be thrown into the garbage. There's no hefsed at that point. If that's that which is too difficult for a person to deal with, he can simply put the leftovers into a plastic bag immediately and put it into the garbage, because yitachen that gram hefsed is not usser. And even if gram hefsed is a problem, yitachen that which he wasn't planning on eating anyway is not considered to be hefsed. But it means that, you know, that one has to be careful to deal with edible peels, deal with leftovers, deal with that which is stuck in food which is on the pit, v'chule. In terms of preparing, it means you should prepare things normally. You should squeeze that which is normally squeezed. You should puree that which is normally pureed. For a baby, everything can be normally pureed. You could cook that which is normally cooked. Yayin of Havdalah, one should not pour out from the coast to put out the candle, and to drink everything, what in terms of arba kosos, etc. And aregel achas, there is a problem of taking fruit of kedusha shviyas to chutz laaretz. So if you're planning on traveling, don't take it on the plane with you to chutz laaretz. Again, we'll deal with all of these issues at much greater length. We'll have to deal also with the world of beer, which is not shayach currently, in terms of. Of from now until Hanukkah. I think I covered 99% of that which I wanted to cover, but I just mentioned that even in terms of Kedusha Shviyas, we spoke about leftovers, that which is absorbed in the pots is not considered to be a leftover. You don't have to worry about it. People also had pots that they were some of them had them clear up, and now you're in their home, and they said, we're buying special food for you. You don't have to worry about the bleed of the pots. It goes beyond the b'dievet of the head and the clear, that there's no shmiz which is going to come out of the bleed in the walls of the pot. Okay, I mean, we should all have a meaningful shmitzah. And b'li neder, again, after Sukkos, we'll begin by speaking about whether Shemitah Bezman Hazeh is Doraiso, is Derabanan, what are the various Shitas. We'll move over into the difference between Shemitah Karka, and the world of produce. And then every one of the topics we discuss today, we'll be able to begin to discuss. I just forgot to mention, people who are Hashem and Israel buy flowers. So if you're buying flowers, so the flowers that have no scent are considered to be Eitz Ba'alma. The flowers, and there's no Kedusha Shviyas, the flowers that are scented, that are being bought for the scent, not for the appearance. So those are an issue of Kedusha Shviyas. But you will see that the flower stands also will have a Tudat Hechsher, for their flowers, that they were picked properly, that they were sold properly. Okay. Next week, in the matter, we'll talk about Rosh Hashanah. Slichos begins this Motzei Shabbos. We'll talk a little bit about Slichos.